It's past 7 o'clock, and well, it is now time for a little conversation with the lovely Sarah Swainson.
Good morning.
Bold Heart. Yeah, good morning. Nice to see you. You're looking very fresh, very green today.
I know. I'm trying to bring your brightness to your Monday morning, Dave.
There we go. Bet you've succeeded. Today we have a telephone conversation.
Yes. And unfortunately, not in studio, but we've got a guest on the line, and this is a special guest. So just to remind everybody, the Bold Heart segment is really about trying to share stories that inspire other people to go out and do the things that they never thought were possible. And often through storytelling, we think we can go and do something because somebody else has done it before. And so often in this segment, we focused on physical stories of boldness. So adventures, challenges, runs, swims, sharks, all of that kind of thing. But now this morning we're changing in a slightly different direction, and we're stepping into the world of creatives and into film. And so we're joined by Luke Rouse, who's a producer and co-founder of Rouse House Productions. He's a passionate storyteller. He's spent the last 15 years telling stories. So welcome, Luke.
Hi, Sarah. Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me.
It's great that you've taken the time to join us this morning. You're in cold Joburg.
Yes, unfortunately. I was in Durban over the weekend at the Durban International Film Festival, but I had to head back home to cold Joburg. You guys do winter in style, I must say.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't beat our winters. Now, your latest film is called Lucky Fish, and I really just loved the storyline behind it, and it's like living authentically. Now, interestingly, what tweaked my interest as well is this film is filmed right here in our backyard in Etiquette and in Phoenix, and bringing a film to life it takes a really bold heart, I'm guessing, but it took 7 years to bring to life, and really changes. Well, challenges stereotypes, I suppose. And so the one line that jumped out from me when I read the press release and delved a little bit deeper is this movie is for everyone who felt like they didn't belong. And I suppose that's most probably almost all of us, and that really struck a chord. So tell us a little bit more. It was shot right here. Can you give us a little bit more about what the film's about?
Sure thing. Lucky Fish is a comedy, a family comedy. It's, like you said, shot entirely in Durban and in Phoenix. It's really focused on a businessman, a Durban businessman. He runs Tinfish Pilchards Company that's not doing very well. And he comes up with this harebrained idea to sponsor a beauty pageant for his Tinfish company called Pillay's Pilchards. And he ropes his sister in to do it, but his sister will only agree to do it if it can be an all-inclusive beauty pageant. So all he hears is yes, and he says, fantastic, let's go for it. But she really has an idea that she wants to change the stereotypes around beauty pageants. So when he comes to judge the first round of contestants, it's not your typical beauty fair. One is in a wheelchair, another is heavily pregnant, the third one has got bandages wrapped around her faces. This is just not your everyday beauty pageant contestants. He says, this is a disaster, you're going to ruin my Tinfish company's reputation, I'm out. But by then, the press have caught wind of it, they love the idea, and he can't back down now. And so he has to double down and go ahead with the Miss Pillay Pilchards beauty pageant. He spent the first half of the film trying to turn these women into his idea of traditional beauty, but ultimately they spend the second half of the film changing that idea of beauty, and we see his character go through quite a journey of introspection and of coming to terms with the fact that actually beauty is much more than thin deep. That's our tagline for the film. So it's got a great message to it. We're passionate about coming here to Durban and shooting it here, using local crew and cast. And we were the opening night film for the Durban International Film Festival, which doesn't happen if you didn't make a good movie.
Yeah.
And, we've had our premieres at the Suncoast Sydney Centre, and it was just magical to see the film with the audience it was made for. They loved it. I mean, I haven't been in a local film where the audience burst into spontaneous applause halfway through. So if that's anything to go by, I think we made a great movie, and we'd love to get people to go watch it. It's in cinemas on the 25th of July.
Now, it feels incredibly relevant to have this idea of living boldly even when you don't fit the mold. Why do you think this message is important right now for people to challenge them, even when they don't feel they fit the mold? Why was this important?
Yeah, well, I think the contestants who enter the competition certainly don't fit the mold, but they are not going to be deterred by that. They want to live their lives. And, you know, this is a little microcosm of reality. We're focusing our lens on the small, tiny community of Phoenix, and we're allowing a more universal story to come out of that by becoming so specific. So we're watching the journey of Sanjay Delay as he learns this message that actually inner beauty is much more important than outer beauty. But we're also watching the women who have the boldness of character to step out of their comfort zone and say, you know what, I've been standing behind a vat of boiling samosa oil my whole life, watching my husband in his career, raising my kids, always putting my desires and hopes to the side, and now it's my time to shine. I think that's an incredibly bold and wonderfully, like a powerful message to send, especially to our women in today's kind of age where beauty can still be such a divisive and a topic that divides us, that doesn't unite us. So, you know, it's lighthearted, but it has a strong message to it, a lot of laughs and quite a few tears in it as well. I think the message is important because, you know, we're taking Sanjay on this journey, and we're at the same time taking our audience on a journey as well. Mm-hmm. A little bit of a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down, and we've got quite a bit of sugar in this film.
Cool. Now, Tommy, making a movie and being producing it takes a lot of determination. There must have been times in this journey that you felt like just to give up, or, you know, what kept you going? What kept this bold heart beating in your own personal life?
Yeah, well, I'm in collaboration with my creative partner, Maren Reddy, who's not only the star of the film, he's actually one of the producers and the writer of the film, and has been my best friend for the past 25 years. So it's really Maren's passion to see the story told that has kept me going. As producers, we often have to do our toiling in the background. No one really sees the effort that goes into it. But when you're on premiere nights and everybody's dressed up in their gad rags, walking down the red carpet, it can feel like, oh, this is such a fun thing. It must have been really easy to make, but it was not. It was certainly difficult. So, yeah, it took a long journey. Originally, the idea was a commissioned by MultiChoice. So they had the IP, and we had to negotiate with them to release that. And that took about a year. And then once we'd released those rights, we started reworking the concept and I think we went through about 16 different drafts of the script. And then we had to find the money, you know. You've got to put a lot of cash together to make something like this happen. Mm-hmm. We were lucky to find some sponsors from, license from Amazon and the KwaZulu-Natal Tourism and Film Authority came on board and said, great, we want you to shoot in our province. And we'll give you some sponsorship, the NFEF. Cyril gave us some money from the Presidential Economic Stimulus Program, and then the Department of Trade and Industry. So that's my job, putting all the nuts and bolts together. But it can be very depressing and take a long time. But thankfully, we were able to put the whole thing together and have a happy ending at the end of the day. Mm. But there were some tough moments, I won't lie to you.
I think that speaks to so many times, especially in our current day and age, it's that instant gratification. You know, if there's young people listening today, they often want instant gratification, instant fame, instant red carpet. And I think that just speaks to, it actually takes a lot of toil, resilience, and a lot of hard work in the background to create something that's really special.
Absolutely. I think of the decision to actually shoot in Phoenix was a really bold one. We came down here to KZN to scout locations. We knew we wanted to shoot in Durban. It's a Durban-based story. It's a story for a large audience, but a predominantly targeted Indian audience. And so we started looking around, and we know that Chatsworth has had a lot of opportunities to shine in the films like the Kandasamy franchise. And so we wanted to find something new. And when we entered the community of Phoenix, something just grabbed our attention. I mean, it is a poor community. It's a difficult. They live a hard life. But they were so welcoming and so comforting and happy to have us there. I mean, we were doing a location scout in one of the parks, and there were a bunch of police officers there doing a patrol. And they asked us, what are you up to? And we said, well, we're shooting a movie here. We're looking for locations. And Captain Melvin Woodley said to me, hey, I got a house. You could come shoot at my house. And so we went to go see his house the next day. It was a perfect location, right in the middle of Phoenix, a great, beautiful house. And that's where we shot one of our scenes. The same thing happened when we were scouting one of the churches. The pastor of the church said, what else are you looking for? And we said, well, we need a swimming pool. We don't have a swimming pool. He said, I've got a swimming pool. Come shoot at my house. That happened just time and time again. And so we were really embraced by the people of Phoenix. We made it for that audience. And wow, what a privilege it was to watch it with them on Friday night and get to see their reactions.
I think it also speaks to being open to receiving as well. You know, when you ask for help, people are quite generous. So tell us, what advice would you give someone who feels like they don't fit the mold, but they want to get out there, whether it's creatively, social, professionally, fitness? What advice would you just give from your own personal life with somebody who's just not feeling like they fit the mold?
Yeah, I mean, I can remember some moments in my life where I've had that crossroad moment where, do I go forward, or it's going to be uncomfortable, it's going to be painful, but, you know, I'm set up pretty comfortably here. Should I just continue in my current trajectory? There was such a moment I had, shucks, about 20 years ago. I sound like a professional now, but honestly, I studied clowning. I have an honors degree as a mime artist. So
a professional clown.
You know, yes, exactly, a professional clown. We had decided to shoot a pilot episode for a sitcom, and we had put some money together, a little bit of cash from each of the creative partners. My brother had come out from the States to shoot it. We were, again, scouting locations, and just things were not working out. We could not find the right spaces. We just received so much resistance. And we stopped off and had a burger at the McDonald's, and my brother looked at me and said, look, I think we need to call it. I think this isn't going to work. And I felt that fire in my chest, just being like, you know what? I'm going to make this happen. And we pushed ahead, and we managed to shoot the pilot, and that eventually became the sitcom on SABC called City Sizzler. You may not be familiar with it, but it ran for 92 episodes and five seasons and had a number of spin-offs and was hugely successful, won a number of awards, and launched my fellow colleagues' careers. So I remember that moment so clearly, and just, you know, the decision to remain within comfort or to say, you know what, I tried a little bit, but it hasn't been a success. I'm going to stop now. If I had stopped on year one or two or three of trying to make Lucky Fish, we wouldn't be here. But it has taken 7 years of consistent, not every single day, but just having it in the back of your mind and then being ready when opportunity meets preparedness and the door opens, being ready to say, okay, I've got this thing. I'm going to keep pushing this ahead. So, yeah, I don't know if that helps, but it certainly was a seminal moment for me just to say, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep pushing this ahead.
So that's our slot for today. Thank you, Luke. And just really to anybody who's living out there, it doesn't happen overnight often, and this is the Bold Hawk segment, and I hope you've been inspired for this next week ahead.
Thanks so much, Sarah, and thanks, Dave, for your time. Thanks to the audience.
And Lucky Fish is in the cinemas on the 25th.
That's right. See you on Friday.
Great stuff. Luke Ross, filmmaker extraordinaire, and Sarah Swainson, the Bold Heart Queen. thank you so much for that. We'll be catching up in a week's time
I'll have another story for you.
Another exciting
You never know what's going to be next.
Yeah, it's going to be, that's one thing for sure. You don't know, but I think you do know that it's going to be interesting. That's for sure. Never a dull moment on the morning show. Never a dull moment in South Africa. We Absolutely. Have a country of extraordinary proportion, and it delivers us news every single day. Not all of it marvelous, but no. Hey, it keeps us,
but they are
keeps
good
us
news
guessing. Hey?
Yeah, absolutely.
So thanks, Sarah. We'll catch up in a week's time for yet another. And Steve Honeysett's Surf Report will be on after the commercials.